Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose. Rose Colombo right here for you. And it is Wednesday, February 23rd, and lunchtime for many of you, or maybe snack time or dinner. Wherever you're at, welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up and hello world. It is a beautiful day on the West Coast. Hope you're enjoying your day wherever you live around the globe. And of course we're in challenging times, but we need to look at the bright side, right? I always think positive thoughts. And always send love into the world. And speaking about love and romance, that's exactly what we're going to talk about on the first part of Colombo Chronicles, an exciting novel, My Love Affair, Thorns and Roses by Natalia Lazarus. I hope you're enjoying your day, and I'm excited today. We have a change of pace, and love affects every human being on the planet. Even babies need to be loved. So it all begins from the conception of life, correct? We begin to love the new life that is within our bodies. And that never ends. And so that is part of being a human being. We love to be touched. We love to be hugged. We love to be kissed. We love to be courted, which may have gone down the tubes with the new digital dating games, but we still enjoy that as females. And so you guys shouldn't forget that. We still like flowers and candy and walking on the beach and kind words and listening to what we have to say. That is a challenge for many men, but it can happen. And when a woman finds a man that will listen to her and at least try to understand her and where she's coming from, very, very important into falling in love. And so that is going to be our entry into authors and experts in just a minute or so. As we enter into the world of authors and experts, I wanted to mention first some big news that happened, which was very shocking, and it affects the world. It's the leader of Australia's most populous state resigns as corruption watchdog launches investigation. That's huge. That is really, really huge, because everybody has their eyes not only on their own country and around the world, but especially Australia, Canada, and Austria. And so we're all watching each other's leaders and what they are doing today. And what they really need to do today is send out more love, more light, more positivity. And so we need to do that ourselves. And you can meditate, and you can pray, and you can think thoughts that will go out into the universe. And believe it or not, those thoughts will overcome the negativity over time if everyone will practice positive thoughts and share love around the world and with our families and our friends and our coworkers, kind of like random acts of kindness. So let me tell you a little bit about our special guest today. Her name, again, is Natalia Lazarus, and the book is My Love Affair, Thorns and Roses. In fact, I had a friend give me a plaque, and it said, thorns have roses, and roses have thorns. Now, that is a very true statement. Miss Lazarus is a graduate of the Sorbonne University in Paris, France, the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York City, the film program at New York University with adjacent studies at the University of London, the British Film Institute, and the Ned Herman Brain Dominance Center. She currently resides in Los Angeles, California, where she dreamed of walking the Malibu beaches since she was 14 years old. Natalia Lazarus is a woman of all seasons and for all seasons. She is talented, captivating, alluring, an international actor, stage producer, director, acting coach with over 30 years in the entertainment industry. She is Sid Fields Dawson and one of the few in the world authorized to teach his screenwriting technique. Natalia was privileged to have studied with Sid for 6 years. Natalia Lazarus is the artistic director at the helm of the Promenade Playhouse and the CEO founder of the prestigious and highly revered Los Angeles Performing Arts Conservatory in Santa Monica, California. And they just celebrated its 25th anniversary year in 2021. So congratulations. Since 1996, the Los Angeles Conservatory has offered numerous programs that she created and developed. In continuing its celebratory year, the LAPAC, Los Angeles Performing Arts Conservatory, was also granted full accreditation by the National Association of Schools of Theater, a feat more than 5 years in the making. Some notable Hollywood alumni of LPAC are named and quite extensive, but she is a woman with artistic, creative, and international flair, currently exploring a new chapter in her extensive career as an author. Released on February 14, 2022, Natalia's lyrical and poignant debut book is an autobiographical love story in verse entitled My Love Affair, Thorns and Roses, published by Central Park South Publishing. Delving into this new creative outlet with fervor, the book captures Natalia's authentic emotions, which are rooted from a whirlwind romance. The book will be released in English and French, complementing Natalia's multilingual skills, Italian and English, fluently. So when we enter into the world of authors and experts, while we're waiting for our special guest to enter into the studio, I'm going to talk a little bit about the news. Austria announces the end of COVID mandates beginning March 15th. So that's a little bit of love going out into the universe. It's actually a lot of love going out into the universe. And that will emanate around the world. And once again, maybe, and we hope and pray that we can all go back to normal. The Austrian government announced during a recent conference in Vienna that it will be ending most of the country's COVID-19 restrictions beginning March 5th. Officials said the stabilization of new infections allows the country to open slowly. The first step started as early as Saturday, February 19th, with proof of vaccination or recent recovery from the coronavirus no longer required to attend events, go to restaurants or bars, or participate in various activities of a negative test is sufficient for entry. Chancellor Carl Niehammer said the bulk of the restrictions will end on March 5th, with entry requirements and other restrictions being dropped altogether. Nightclubs can also be reopened, while restaurants and bars can stay open past midnight. I'm very happy to hear this because many of my family members are in the restaurant business, and they've had to really do a lot of juggling since 2019 to keep their businesses going with all the restrictions and regulations that have been put on by the health departments and the government regulations and so forth. It has been a real struggle for the restaurant business, for gyms, for salons, and for bars. And so this is going to be hopefully the beginning of going back to normal and allowing people to go back to work and to open their businesses without fear of being shut down and losing their, in America, their American dream. And so on that note, I'm going to take a break and I will be back in just a moment. So don't touch that dial.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to columbochronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, columbochronicles.com.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car... Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion? Not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics, from politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up, Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc, Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
That's right. We don't have to send the familia to make sure you are listening. So just stay tuned.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, we're back with Columbo Chronicles Live, and hopefully our guest will get through to our studio. Natalia Lazarus, as we will watch the board here. And let's go to, while we're waiting for her to call in, let's go to Biden accused, this is interesting, of cover-up with pandemic relief fraud. I don't know if you heard about this, but $80 billion of our money went missing through the EDD. And that's not a good thing for America because everyone's struggling. They're paying more money for gasoline, paying more money for food, paying more money to keep their businesses open. Everything has increased. Nothing has decreased. And then we have difficulty getting supplies since 2019, be it food, be it cargo. And in the construction industry, the prices for commodities from China and other countries is skyrocketing for them, which then they have to pass on to the homeowners, to the business people who are building new industrial complexes and so forth. And so this is a serious problem in America and around the world. And it says a key Republican on the House Ways and Means Committee is citing billions of dollars in pandemic relief fraud and accusing Joe Biden and his administration of a massive cover-up. The comments from United States Representative Kevin Brady, he's a Republican out of Texas, came during a congressional briefing on the estimated, it's just estimated, and they believe it could be a lot more, $80 billion of pandemic unemployment payment fraud, explains the report in Just the News. Right now, our Democrat colleagues are continuing to turn a blind eye to what's possibly the greatest theft of American taxpayer dollars in American history, Brady charged. Faced with billions of dollars lost to unchecked unemployment fraud involving organized cybercrime and international crime rings, Democrats have ignored repeated calls for congressional oversight hearings, he charged. It's a little late now that the money's disappeared into cyberspace, wouldn't you say? He said the government properly stepped in to help when the China virus that became known as COVID-19 hit hard, but fraud soon followed. Well, isn't that the way it usually goes? It was necessary to help the jobless, but the programs lingered and became one of the most flawed and wasteful recovery efforts ever enacted by the federal government. In fact, total state and federal spending on enhanced pandemic unemployment benefits exceeded $850 billion of our taxes in less than 2 years. So now you wonder why the cost of living is going up and they're threatening to allow the bubble to burst and the hyperinflation. Well, these programs have stunted our economic growth and worsened the labor shortage, resulting in the highest inflation in 40 years. And that's what this has done. One of the significant problems, he charged, is that lawmakers, even now, don't have an accurate assessment of what tax money was lost. This is just ridiculous. I mean, how can you lose $850 billion? So at the low end, the White House estimates nearly $80 billion, which has been lost to fraud last year, but outside experts put the number much higher, estimating that criminal fraudsters have stolen $400 billion. $400 billion, that's with a B, like boy, from American taxpayers. That's half of all the COVID unemployment aid, he explained. He said that's about the equivalent of the entire 2021 budgets for the Army and Navy combined. He said the Democrats refused Republican attempts through legislative amendments to last year's stimulus program to crack down on relief funding and prevent fraud, but the cover-up goes well beyond, he said. Now the Biden administration has taken unilateral action to sweep suspected fraud under the rug, allowing states to waive large numbers of suspicious claims and forego recovery and restitution for taxpayers. This is a cover-up from the administration on an issue that has cost American taxpayers hundreds of billions of dollars. Enough is enough. It's time for Congress to go after fraudsters and recover the dollars that have been lost. He said the GOP members on the committee are trying again with a proposed Combating COVID Unemployment Fraud Act that would cut down on fraudulent allocations in the first place, but also allow for the government to seek the return of dollars paid to fraud. And it goes on, but can you imagine $400 billion gone missing from our taxes? And here we are with inflation skyrocketing for utilities, for food, for water, for trash, just about everything you can possibly think of. Rent and mortgage is skyrocketing. So it's really an amazing issue that has happened in our country, and it should have never happened. They can fine and penalize Americans who didn't pay a few pennies on their taxes, and they'll come after you for that. But they can't fine fraudsters who, through the EDD, stole $400 billion. That is stunning. And on that note, I'm going to take a break, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to ColumboChronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, ColumboChronicles.com. Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to ColumboChronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, ColumboChronicles.com.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Listen.
listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to columbochronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, columbochronicles.com.
Hi, everyone. We're back on columbochronicles.com, is right. And right now we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, and I did give you information on our dynamic author, Natalia Lazarus, and she wrote the wonderful book, My Love Affair, Thorns and Roses, and it's going to be very intriguing because everyone, as I said before, is concerned about finding the love of their life. She found the love of her life, and she had passion and love. And she also had ups and downs. So let's say hello to our wonderful guest, Natalia Lazarus. Hi, Natalia.
Hi, Natalia. Thank you so much for having me. Hi, can you hear me?
I can. Sorry, we had some trouble with the studio, but here we are, and that's all that counts.
Yes, here we are.
Yes. And so I'm so happy. I told the audience about your background, and it's very intriguing and exciting because you're such a multi-talented person. And so, Natalia, the first thing I wanted to ask you, tell us a little bit about your parents and your childhood. Did you have a loving family, and were they passionate about you becoming an actress and in the arts, in becoming a professional in the arts?
I think my parents were very passionate about education. That was very important to them. My father is a doctor in English and education, and then moved on to be a diplomat in Paris, which gave me an exciting new view on the world. I was born in a little country, Honduras, in the capital, in Tegucigalpa. My mother is a native Indian from the country, so she taught me everything I know and feel about spirituality and humbleness. And my father taught me everything about different languages. I'm fluent in French and English and Spanish. And he was the first one to introduce me to the works of Shakespeare and Russian playwrights. So I was very lucky in this sense. My parents were loving and kind to me, even though it didn't work out between them. And my father is also of a German Jewish heritage, so I'm a very unique mixture. When I'm in Honduras, people don't believe that I'm Latin. When I'm in Europe, people think I'm American. It's just a big confusion to everybody.
Heinz 57, I call it.
I'm a citizen of the world.
Exactly. And that's beautiful. And so I was curious because I love your book, The Love Affair, Thorns and Roses. And I even have a plaque that a friend gave me, and it says, "Roses have thorns and thorns have roses," which is very true. And I'm sure you can relate to that after reading your book, which I did last night, in fact. And it's a page turner, and so I didn't stop. And so I wanted to ask you about a Picasso And why were you drawn to play the part of Mademoiselle Fisher?
I was drawn to Mademoiselle Fisher because she is very strong and stern, and she's fighting for her life, even though in the beginning and even the middle of the play, the audience doesn't know that. So she's coming across like she just wants to destroy Pablo Picasso and burn his work. But in reality, she's an art historian. She loves Picasso. She loves artists. But she's in this position. She's actually Jewish, but again, you don't know it right away. You don't know all of this until the climax, and then everything turns, and you realize, you see her humanity, and you see that she's really just fighting for her life, that she's a token for the Nazis, and she's been put in this horrible position. So I just thought it was such a fulfilling role, because you're playing the harsh Nazi, but then inside you really are just a woman and a lover of art and a lover of Picasso, and you're with this man who you love, and you have to destroy him, but and in the end he loves her, but it's a love that cannot be. And that's how I felt paralleled with the love affair that I was living in real life.
Yes, and it's interesting because that you were in a screenplay playing that part, and at the same time it brought you to a new love in your life. Was he your first real love or not?
Oh, no, I would have to say that my journey has been that life is a series of love affairs, and that's why I believe that life is roses and thorns and roses. I focus on the roses, and I think if we do that, eventually, you know, the right rose will come for you. And that is what I found after many tries. Many tries. I really, this, my fiance now is the sweetest man, and he literally says out loud and to everyone, I am here to serve you, to make you happy. I am here for you. And it's such an incredible feeling to not have to do anything, you know, to not have to chase, to not have to feel like you have to serve and please, and to have the man or the love of your life is someone that is going to be coming towards you. You don't have to do anything. Of course, you have to be kind. You have to be a human being. But I think you get what I'm saying. I think as women, so many times we think we have to do. Please, 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 please. And that this will get the attention of this man or the love of this man, or we will retain this man. When in fact, you do nothing. It's the man that has to pursue you and do and please. It took me a long time to figure that out.
That's what I tell my daughter. I tell them that the man is the hunter. Let them be the hunter, you know, and take it easy.
That's right.
And train them upright.
That's right.
And I don't think that will ever change. And so, even
no,
with the physical dating.
No, but somehow we have a thick skull sometimes as women, or we get sidetracked. We don't realize our own strength, and I think that's part of the journey for me, and how I've come to understand it is that we are going from princesses to queens, and when we actually become a queen, we understand what all those things mean. It means that all the answers lie inside of you, and you have your strength. And you have your kingdom, and you have to rule your kingdom. And the kingdom means serving others. And when you have a mission, you will be serving others, and you won't be so focused on all this love stuff. The love will just be there, and it will be part of your life.
Yes, I think that's beautiful. And so tell us about this dashing international banker you felt so passionate about.
Well, you know, I had been, as an artist, I'd been on a journey where many of the men I had been with were, you know, wild and crazy and artistic. And here was a banker just very together and dashing and smart. And I just thought, wow, you know, this is it. And in fact, it really wasn't it. But I have no regrets because the journey, in fact, made me come. It's, to me, it was like a coming of age story for me, even though I was older than coming of age, but really coming of age as a woman. And I think finally doing that transition from princess to queen is what that journey helped me to find. So I'm grateful for that journey.
Yes, I think that
and
it
I had
takes,
one of my,
takes time. It takes time to become
teacher,
the queen.
I had a writing teacher. It takes time. You mm-hmm. can't just become the queen just because you desire. You don't even know what it means.
Right.
But I had a writing teacher that used to say, "What doesn't work will show you what will work." And I think that's very valuable, not just for writing, but for our lives. You know, if we take stock and pay attention, that everything we are doing is moving us forward.
Park, okay? I already asked you to pay one.
I'm on a live interview. I'm so sorry. I will pay right now.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. I'm in my car in Los Angeles, and there's the meter maid. Do they have compassion? No.
This has been one of the funniest phone calls ever.
It is, isn't it? I'm telling you. Only to me.
It's life. I always go, it's life. I just, you know, whatever. We'll just get, you know, we'll just do it, you know. Whatever comes, you know. And it's kind of fun, actually. So,
yes.
Love is the greatest refreshment in life. Pablo Picasso. Do you believe that?
I believe it's definitely a wonderful refreshment, yes, because we get so bogged down sometimes with work and our goals and what we have to achieve, and we forget maybe sometimes to just smell the roses and enjoy the love. And I think Pablo Picasso did that better than anybody else.
Is you have, created your poems along as which is all so important to your book here. And so which poem do you like the best in your book? Which is your favorite?
You know, I have a few for different reasons. But I would say Now That You Found Me is a poem that can travel not only for this love affair, but for any love affair. So I quite like Now That You Found Me. And I have it pinned and ready if you'd like me to read a verse.
If you wouldn't mind, I would love it.
Oh, okay. With that being said, of course. Oh, there it is. So I'll pick a section of it.
Okay.
Here it is. Now that you found me, will you just take me, love me, and never look back? Now that you found me, will you walk through the door? Will you make me your bride? Will you finally be mine? Will I finally be yours? Now that you found me, I heard you, though it took worlds. I found you, though it took years. I finally have you, though it took many tears. Now that you found me, I love you like I have loved no other. Let's create a new home for our souls, for us, now that you found me.
That's beautiful. So now that you each found each other, but there's a third party, right?
I'm glad you brought that up because on another interview, I said that my favorite poem, that one I love because it's so romantic and hopeful, but in terms of the book and the story and the love affair, my favorite poem is actually Trio, because in that poem, it has the gist of the situation that was going on and why, in fact, the love affair wasn't going to work, because a triangle isn't going to work. So that's my favorite one in terms of what the story is about.
Yeah, I think so,
too. Do you want
too.
Me to read that one?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. So I'll find it here. But you were saying you like Trio, or you agree with that it's the gist of the story?
Oh,
I do, but I also believe that I was also going to ask you, in this trio, because I know other women who have been involved with married men, and none of it ended up well in the end. They all went back to their wives, and they were all heartbroken. And one woman stayed in 15 years, so 15 years, and she divorced her husband. She thought he was going to leave his wife. She's going to marry her. They're going to be happily ever after. And she lived alone until she passed away, and he just kept visiting her for 15 years. And so I was curious, in your experience, did you ever think about the pain of the woman, the wife?
Well, you know, I had an interesting situation because this wife actually communicated with me. And it was all very open that, you know, they lived in separate cities and they were separated. And this thing called Camelot was the supposed thing that the divorce was being done friendly, that we were all going to be friends. I thought it was a little strange, but I was like, okay, well then this is a new way of doing things. So, but in fact, I truly believe now is that I was very, I know it's funny, but is that I was very naive. I was very naive, and she was very cunning and smart in terms of if her goal was to keep her husband and get him back, then she did what you're supposed to do. You keep your enemies close. So that's what she did. And I really just detached myself from the feelings of this other woman, I think, because in my mind, we weren't doing anything secret or behind closed doors. It was out in the open. We were a couple. It was known to her, to her children, and I had an engagement ring. It was all going down until it didn't go down, you know. and then I realized that this woman had a very, obviously, very, very strong influence. And even though she appeared to be very open-minded and, oh, yes, this is life and we move on. And she even said things like, oh, it's wonderful to be able to triangulate with you and, you know, break a leg on your show. And everything was so kind of civil in that way, but really underneath it obviously wasn't.
Right.
But, yeah, so trio, you know. We are three.
Right.
We are one. Yeah, so the whole relationship was about to be with you, one must accept three. One must accept us. You, me, her, her, you, me. Me, her, you. It cannot be escaped, denied, forgotten. You go to her, you come to me. You, me, her. A vicious circle, three. Ever present. The phone calls, the trips. Her, burn her, patience, breathe. Three, a splinter tearing through my skin. Three, a knife piercing through my heart. How can I get rid of three? How can I make three equal two? Only you can. The thought persists, the question persists, the dream persists. One day it will be two, you and me. No thoughts, no questions, no regrets, just two. The dream comes true.
That's amazing, that poem. I love it. And so what about your travels? You traveled a lot. So what was that like?
Amazing. I cannot envision a world without traveling. And thank God for that, because that's like a whole other adventure which opens your mind to different circumstances, to different cultures, to meeting new people. Things you had never envisioned or imagined can happen through traveling. I was very lucky, like I said, from an early on. My father was stationed in France, so France became like my second home, traveling in the south, in the north, and then as an adult going back and working there. Italy is also a favorite. I My second husband was Italian. I was with him for 16 years. So traveled in Sicily, went to work again in Italy as well. Obviously, where I'm from, Central America, and just all through Europe and even a lot of the United States, in the South, Colorado. I lived on the East Coast for 10 years. So there's a lot more to see, but I'm very happy with what I've seen thus far of the world.
Yes, and so would it, you also say, though, that you must be true to yourself, basically. Do you think that is the most important thing for a young woman to figure out, or even a mature woman? Sometimes they haven't figured it out either. So what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Because I remember my mother, and of course, younger, I didn't understand what she said, what she meant. She would always say, "You don't need a man, daughter. You need yourself. What you have inside, nobody can take away from you." And now later, I understand what she means, meaning, of course, you have the love with you as your companion, as your friend, that journeys with you in life, that supports you in your journey. But really, you must be strong within yourself and know who you are and what is right and what is wrong for you. And that means being selfish, and it's not selfish in a bad way. Selfish means knowing what you want and what you don't want. And it goes back to sometimes we don't know that right away because we are growing and learning. We're transitioning from this, "Oh, I'm a princess and I'm so cute and I'm so sweet," to, "Okay, I'm becoming a woman and I've got to put up with the thorns. I've got to get right back up and keep moving," because that's what a queen would do. A queen doesn't give up. A queen rules. She has her advisors. And I always say, now that I understand this concept and by using this kind of childhood metaphor of princesses and queens, is I always just ask myself, what would a queen do? You know, in this situation, how do I want to proceed? How should I behave? Of course, you still can lose your temper if you need to, but if I always try to remember, I am a country, how would I behave towards this other country as a ruler? That helps to keep me, helps keep my goals in mind, and it helps keep who I am inside in present and not losing that. And sometimes when we fall into these love situations, at least for me, we forget who we are. All of a sudden we become stupid, you know, smart women, intelligent. All of a sudden we're not thinking straight anymore. And I don't think that's a healthy place to be. A queen would not do that. A queen would never lose her head.
And so, I hope not. And so,
no,
but some women
more. Kingdom.
Yes, and some women do lose their kingdom, and some women do lose their identity because they morph into that person, and they forget who they are. And because of what you said, they're trying to please the man. So, you know, and the fairy tale isn't so far off, because since little girls we're seeing Cinderella, you know, finding her prince, and Snow White, you know, and so forth, and on and on and on. So little girls grow up with that, you know, idea that their prince is going to come along and they're going to live happily ever after, like the story says. And so it's really not so far off to realize why so many, but it is something, though, that everybody wants, wouldn't you say, this lasting love?
Absolutely. And I think we can find it when we are clear on who we are and that we're not going to lose ourselves. Because once we start to lose ourselves, we also start to become very unattractive to that man or to that woman, whoever. Because when you lose your power, you are no longer who you are. You're no longer portraying your essence of who you are, and you're slowly losing and forgetting that. And so we have to always connect with that and know our strength. And, you know, there are men that will come around and try to take that strength in any way, shape, or form. And you just have to stay true. But it takes some time to realize what is true to yourself and who you are. And it's okay to make mistakes along the way.
Oh, yes, that's how we learn. And so What would you say was your most painful moments in your book?
Well, the moment when the promises are undone, right? The promise of, yes, my divorce is going through, when it's not going to happen, when I can see clearly that it's going to remain this kind of triangle, and either I agree to the triangle or I gotta, you know, move on and cry it out somewhere. That's very devastating when you have put all your illusions into this one basket. And that's why my recommendation would be, yes, you want to have love, but you have other things in your life. You have the love of yourself. You have the love of your mission, of your kingdom. You have so many other things that the love of this man who is not showing up when he said he's going to show up should not completely wipe you out. Yes, it may hurt. It may take you a moment to get yourself back up emotionally, but you keep going because you have other things to do. You are not defined just by this love, which was not really love, because if it was really love, he would be there for you.
Exactly.
That's also very sad to me.
Yes, it is sad. And I was just going to let the audience remind the audience we're talking to Natalia Lazarus, and the name of her book is My Love Affair, Thorns and Roses. Everyone will love it, whether you're a man or a woman. You can learn something. Like, for example, you said, without you, our flame will die. And that's a feeling that a lot of women believe at that point when they're breaking up, right, or they realize it's over.
Yes. You know, it's like, this is it. We are two. Without you, this is going to die. And I think that's also a very powerful position, because there are women, I hope not so many anymore, that will stay in love with this man for the rest of their lives, and they won't redo their lives because they're just so heartbroken, and their heart belonged to this one man, as opposed to, oh, you know what, you can move on and love somebody else. That's what's important, is that you have the capacity to love and to give. And I think one of the saddest moments in any love affair is knowing, okay, if we do this, the flame will die. Because I'm not going to carry it. I'm not Mother Teresa. I always say that. I'm not going to carry it to my deathbed and worship you if you are not around, you know? It takes two to tangle.
Yes, and so you have to get over that. You have to pick yourself up, and you got to start, you know, deciding like you did that, hey, I can spread my wings, and I can keep moving on no matter how painful it is. And you also learned from your mother and her statement that, you know, you should never forget who you are, right?
That's right. Never forget who you are and what you have to offer the world. Nobody can take that away from you. Somebody wants to withdraw their supposed love, no problem. Go ahead. Go take your love somewhere else, sir. But you will continue to be who you are, and you will flourish.
Yes,
you know, there's roses, there's thorns. That's life, you know. Focus on the roses. That's all.
And you also say, you know, that I must let you go. That's the difficult part, right?
Oh, that's like taking a knife out of your heart. You know, that is so terrible. One thing is you're leaving because you don't love someone. But another thing is you're leaving, you love them, but you know this is not going to work. And so taking that knife is painful, physically, emotionally, yes. Taking that knife out of your heart. But remember, it's a knife in your heart because it's not making you happy.
And then, of course, you feel sad and betrayed and hurt and your heart's broken. But then you say, here comes the dove of peace, Pablo Picasso's dove of peace, and an awakening as well. And so is that what led you to spread your wings again and find your fiancé, or did he find you?
You know what? He found me. And God bless him. He found me. He sought me out. You know, he was living on the East Coast. I was living on the West Coast. And he kept sending me messages through Facebook, which my company answers. So there was a ghostwriter pretending to be me. And then all of a sudden, the ghostwriter, she said, "He's coming to L.A. I don't know what else to say." I said, "Who? Who's coming to L.A.? What are you talking about?" but, of course, he's an actor and a writer, so he was connecting with me, I mean, with the ghostwriter, but through, you know, the arts. Very right. kind man. He came to visit my company, which is a performing arts center, and we just hit it off. We were just, he was full of stories and laughter, and but nothing, in that moment, it was just two colleagues, you know, commiserating. And he said that in his mind, he thought, well, there's no way this beautiful woman is single. She's probably married, has kids. And then he kept communicating with me. And then he wanted to go to the Malibu Film Society because I'm part of that. And so I said, well, I'll let you know when the next event is happening. And then I did. And he said, oh, I'm not available. I'm working all day that day at Sony, but I want to take you to a movie and dinner of your choice. And that's how it started. And it was like three dates before he went back to New York. But it was very romantic because he didn't try anything. You know, we just talked, walked on the beach, went to dinner, and he didn't try anything, not even to hold my hand. He was so sweet. And that's how it was. It was blossoming. He returned. And then when he returned, he said, I'm going to be moving out to L.A. And when I come back, I want to know if you'd like to be my girlfriend. And I just melted. I hadn't heard those words since I was in high school.
See, they live happily ever after.
But not only that, he's responsible for taking these poems. He asked me, what are these poems? Because he read the screenplay that I wrote called The Year in Picasso, and I put snippets of the poems in there. He said, what are these poems? I said, oh, it's something I wrote. And he said, I'd like to read them all. And I felt kind of strange because they were poems written for another man. And I said, okay, because, you know, I didn't want to hold anything back. I didn't want him to think I was hiding anything. And I gave him the poems. And he sat in the living room, and he came out. He had tears in his eyes, and he said, I'm so moved by what you wrote. I'm so sad that this happened to you. These are beautiful, and they need to be a book. And he sent them to my agent in New York. So it was another man. Can you believe this? That's love.
Well, see, it's all meant to be, you know. I mean, there's no coincidences. It was all the steps that were taken to get to that point where now you're happy with a wonderful man named Tom, a fiance, and you're happy, you're content, you know, and that's what's important. That's love, right?
That's right. And it's a man that has helped me in my journey as an artist with my goals, and he's here. Like you said, I'm here to help you, to serve you, to make you happy. And that's such a wonderful feeling. You can just relax. You feel like, oh, I don't have to do anything.
Do you know there's so many women out there saying, does he have a brother?
Oh, God, but his brother passed away, unfortunately.
Oh, that's
so
sad. Yeah, sorry
just,
about that.
Yes.
Just
yes.
him, but that's enough for you. So, Natalia Lazarus, I'm so glad we connected, I mean, finally, and great old communications here. And I hope everyone goes out and gets your book, My Love Affair, Thorns and Roses by Natalia Lazarus. And will you please tell our audience where they can find your website, if you have one, and also how they can get your book?
My website is Lazarus on Stage, and the book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, and Books A Million.
Fantastic. And God bless you, and keep up the good work, and keep sharing love. And
thank you so much.
Much.
I wish you love, everybody. Thank you so much. Big kiss. Mwah.
Back. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now Talia, beautiful name, Lazarus, has left the building. Be sure to get her book, My Love Affair, Thorns and Roses. It's it'll help everybody become a stronger person and overcome their romances and when you break up, and teach you how to pick yourself up and keep going and get through the pain, and then pick yourself up and know that there's a big world out there and there's billions and billions of people. You just got to go out there and take action, right? Right. And on that note, Columbo Chronicles invites you to return next Wednesday from 12 to 1 p.m. and we'll have another dynamic author and expert. And remember, injustices can happen to you and they can happen to me, but together we can make a positive difference. So send out those positive thoughts, send out love into the world, do random acts daily, even if it's a smile, it's free, and God will bless you greatly. Bye-bye.
Rose Columbo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Columbo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Columbo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Columbo Chronicles.